Good morning. Welcome to St. Francis Church. This is a great day to be in church together. On this Ash Wednesday, our liturgy is from the Book of Common Prayer, starting on page 264, and supplemented by the service leaflet. After the homily, there will be a blessing of ashes when you are invited to come forward and kneel at the rail to receive the imposition of ashes. With this act, we commit ourselves to the holy season of Lent. On this special day, the Litany of Penitence takes the place of the prayers of the people and the confession. These acts prepare us, finally, to share in the Lord's Supper. So let us begin.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your face fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Green Valley, I can't think of anything more satisfyingly green than our groves of pecan trees, which stay lush and green all through the summer and fall before, in December, suddenly they turn yellow, and overnight they drop all those gorgeous leaves, and now they stand bare to the sky, so that as we drive past this month, we can look through that whole grove and see the horizon miles away. Shocking winter barrenness. Then comes spring. Early desert plants bloom. In April, more native plants flower. But I'm still looking through the bare branches of the pecan groves. And then, sometime after Easter, I can see green leaf tips springing, and in another week or two, that profuse pecan foliage is a glorious, dappled mass of that only Van Gogh could do justice to. And from the road, the view of a distant horizon has disappeared behind the lush new foliage of the pecan grove. Existentially, Lent and the expectation of new life are something like that pecan grove. We wait and wait, and all our expectation seems to do is to make us more aware of the barrenness of winter, of human frailty, of the hopelessness of life when it depends on our feeble efforts to effect change. All the more aware of the pervasiveness of social evil and human selfishness in the long winter of our sins. Nevertheless, in God's good time, that watched pot does boil, the bare branches spring into leaf, releasing enormous energy which has gathered in the branches and waited and built up through the long winter. And so, after the long wait of Lent, the dawn of Easter fills the sky with light, and the Lord's resurrection strikes a chord in us, which releases God's energy stored and restored in us for the hope of new life, the urge to give praise, the courage to risk love again. It all makes a transcendent Easter, and it couldn't happen without Lent. How then can we live this Lent to the refreshment of our souls and to the renewal of our life with others? This Ash Wednesday, I have two options to offer you for keeping a holy Lent. The first option comes from our recent presiding bishop, who invites us to keep Lent by getting back to the basics of our faith. Using her own vivid metaphor, our presiding bishop, Catherine Jeffords Shorey, says, "Think of Lent as a spiritual tune-up. All through the year, we know and use the basic disciplines of our faith, penitence, prayer, fasting, and generosity. But just as our new cars are all run by computers and have become too complex for us to do the maintenance ourselves, now we take them in for expert service. So also in Lent, we submit ourselves to intentional expert maintenance. Lent is our time to review intentionally those basic disciplines we depend on instinctively through the rest of the year. So there is option one from Presiding Bishop Shorey, back to the basics of penitence, prayer, fasting, and generosity. Here is option two. Personalize your Lenten discipline. Use this season of Lent to develop your spiritual backhand. Improve your weak suit. What this means is that if you are an out there type A personality, my wife comes to mind, overcommitted, overextended, and overstressed, then an appropriate Lenten discipline for you is to do what you don't do for yourself the rest of the year. Begin each day of Lent with 15 or 20 minutes of quiet, structured prayer. Use the simple forms of daily prayer on page 136 to 140 in the Book of Common Prayer. Or use a daily devotional like Forward Day by Day, which you can pick up right here at church. Or, here's a challenge, practice abstinence from what addicts you, from television, or chocolate, or alcohol, or from complaining, to regain some control over whatever obsession is distracting you from being your best. Practice entering God's presence and let God reach out to you. That's a recommendation for the overcommitted and for extroverts. On the other hand, if you're contemplative or retiring by nature, then use Lent as a time to practice extending yourself more than you usually do. Join in a Lenten class on Sunday morning or afternoon, or make it your discipline to contact someone personally each of these 40 days. Write a note, pick up the phone, Does a text message really qualify? Yes, if you take the time to make it warm and personal. Or spend the first 15 quiet minutes of each morning praying by name for your family, your friends, your church, and for the world. And think of one, just one, good deed to do some for someone during the day, and do it. Then take the last few minutes at bedtime to reflect on what you chose to do for whom today and what happened. That's option two, choosing a discipline to fill out your weak suit, to strengthen your backhand, to balance contemplation with action. When you fail to keep your discipline, make your apology to God and let it go. Tomorrow is a fresh start, and if you really want to make Lent special, invite someone to be your Lenten prayer partner. Make contact at least once a week to check in and to offer mutual encouragement. It's Lent. It's serious, but not fatal. It's a rich opportunity to deepen your spiritual life through learning and service. In fact, it's an open invitation to prepare for the new life of Easter. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Thanks be to God.